Welcome to another edition of Pulse. My name is Anthony Patch. It is the 31st of August as I'm recording this on a Saturday. The title of this Pulse edition is Recalibrated Nuclear Options. And these are the options as the Russians view them. So I'll try to lend to you my interpretation, my conclusions as to what the Russians are thinking, what they have openly, publicly stated, and where this may appear to be leading to. This is a very serious situation. My intent is not to instill fear, but to make you aware of the present situation that the world faces, but in particular, Europe, NATO in particular, European Union, and the continental United States. Russian hardliners have, for the last week to almost 2 weeks, have openly, publicly stated that they are changing the nuclear doctrine. The doctrine had been for many years, but was stated in a press conference by Putin a little over a month ago that the word exceptional he used in explaining their doctrine as it stood then, that if there were exceptional conditions that threatened the sovereignty of the Russian Federation and or the territory of Russia itself. Now, since he made that statement that exceptional conditions would then result in the employment of tactical and perhaps even strategic nuclear weapons by Russia, and not only on Ukraine, but as I said a moment ago, Europe, and we'll specify that in a few moments, and also the continental United States. Since then, there has been the so-called incursion by Ukrainian forces into Russia, and based upon Putin's previous statement regarding the employment of tactical and perhaps strategic nuclear weapons, that an incursion such as occurred by Ukraine and has been ongoing for almost a month now, not a successful one on the part of Ukrainian and NATO forces, I might add, but nonetheless, the incursion qualified the second portion of the exceptional conditions that Putin stated, and that was the threatening of Russian territory. Now, certainly, Ukrainian and NATO troops coming in and occupying arguably a very small territory, let's say it's about 1,000 square kilometers, deploying, not really occupying, not really controlling, but deploying into that territory, might have crossed that red line in terms of Putin feeling that Russian territory was threatened due to this incursion, this invasion, really. But he has exercised considerable restraint, even though the hardliners that surround him are pushing harder against Ukraine and the types of weapons to be used, the numbers of troops to be used. Nonetheless, Putin exercised, I think, exceptional restraint by not immediately wiping out the Ukrainian and NATO forces in the Kursk region, and perhaps even deciding to use one or more tactical nukes, low-yield nuclear weapons. But he hasn't. And I characterize this restraint on his part due to Russian strategic strength. So let me outline that just very briefly. This will be a very short video today. Strategic strength that encompasses a military of a standing army of 1.4 million troops with volunteers, enlistees, every month, joining to the tune of some 50,000 volunteers joining the Russian military every month. The Russian manufacturing capability of resupplying military weapons and armament and ammunition and so forth. Is such that really what is expended by the military in the Kursk region, the Donbass region, or any other region is quickly replenished by the manufacturing capacity of Russia. The political solidarity that exists in the leadership in Russia is exceptional in comparison to certainly Ukraine, if we look at leadership in NATO countries and even the United States. It's very divided, very fractured. So they are in a position of strength in terms of political solidarity, manufacturing ability, their logistical ability to resupply, and their standing military, and then just the large geography of Russia itself compared to the very small area that Ukraine has chosen not to occupy, but to move into. There's a vast difference between occupying as an occupying force, meaning you control the air, the ground, and if applicable, the sea. They're not occupying anything. In fact, in the last Pulse video, I outlined that this would be actually one before that. I outlined previously that this would be an envelopment by Russian forces, an envelopment of these Ukrainian and NATO troops on the ground on Russian territory. And in fact, that is what has taken place. That has, in fact, played out that way. And they are being destroyed. There are now 16,000 plus casualties, with some 7,000 plus actually killed of Ukrainian forces and NATO forces. And I keep reinforcing NATO because it's a proven fact that NATO troops were involved in this, not just arms. So there is a situation in which this very small portion of land in the vastness of Russia plays into this position of strategic strength and restraint on the part of Putin. But he has just announced in the last few days that there will be a massive, as he calls it, an arrow campaign, a massive air attack on Ukraine itself. And this is not just in the eastern portion of Ukraine, but extending to the west as well. In addition to this announcement, there has been a change in the nuclear posture. Almost a week ago, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov of Russia announced that they are reevaluating, and let me use his own words here, he indicated that their nuclear doctrine, which sets out the conditions under which Russia would use a nuclear weapon, has changed. The principal change that he noted in his address was to warn the West, warn the United States itself, that if they think that they can use the European countries, the European nations, as a buffer and use the Atlantic Ocean and Pacific Ocean as buffers, isolating the continental United States from the employment of strategic and nuclear, and I'll define those two, strategic and or tactical nuclear weapons. He reminded the West, the U.S., that this is a out, moated perception of security, that the oceans, he called them, irrelevant. The oceans are no longer relevant in terms of isolating the United States from nuclear weapons. In addition to the changing of the conditions that he was outlining, was the threat made by Zelensky in his outright demand presented to the United States, to NATO, to allow him to use long-range U.S.-supplied missiles to strike St. Petersburg and Moscow. Now, Zelensky did not stipulate nuclear warheads, tactical nukes, in this attack, but Lavrov made it very clear that they would, due to their own national security, for their own defense, they would have to presume that any missiles launched deep into Russia, we're not talking about this incursion, we're talking about 1,000 kilometers, 1,500 kilometers into Russia, that they would presume that these missiles were nuclear armed. So the conditions by which the Russians would trigger the use of their nuclear weapons targeting Ukraine, but extending that discussion of the change in conditions to the targets that they would extend beyond Ukraine to, specifically, he cited Poland, Romania, possibly Germany, France, United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Finland. And again, he repeated, and this would extend also to the continental United States. I presented well over a month ago the report that the Russians, well over 6 months ago, issued standing orders. These are orders to the commanders of nuclear forces in Russia, including submarines, standing orders with their conditions for their independent decision to launch, that the order did not need to be delivered by Moscow, by the military leadership, by Putin himself, that they already had their orders based upon the conditions 6 months ago, but now those conditions have been modified. So too, I would presume the standing orders for those commanders have changed. So let me distill this down to a very fine point, and that is, again, what Lavrov made it very clear. With their monitoring, their surveillance capabilities, these are satellites, ground-based, radars, human intelligence, data, monitoring of the internet systems, the communication systems, etc., that even if they detected preparations by the West. So when I say the West, of course, I mean the United States, NATO slash Europe, and Ukraine. Any indication of preparations to launch deep into Russia, no matter where the launches occur from, whether they arise out of Poland or Romania or somewhere else, that Russia, and this is the principal change in their doctrine, that Russia would preemptively strike with nuclear weapons against the West and all of those stair-stepping, if you will, targets. This is a significant change for them. They are in a position of strategic strength, as I've outlined, meaning they can be patient, they can exercise restraint. whether we're talking conventional warfare, conventional weapons, or nuclear, they understand that left to its own devices, Ukraine will completely disappear in terms of its military ability, its economic abilities, its political leadership. It is already imploding. But Putin made it very clear, and so did Lavrov, who was speaking for Putin, that they want to bring this war in Ukraine to an end by the end of this year. In fact, Russia is hosting the BRICS meeting in October. So I will move that timetable up from December to October, which I interpret this as an acceleration and Lavrov's statements an escalation as a warning. As I said in last night's live stream that we conducted on Friday instead of Thursday this week, I characterize the statements by Putin and Lavrov over the course of about a week's time as a shot across the bow to the West, which of course is a warning. The West has mistaken the patience and restraint on the part of Russia. Again, from a position of strategic strength, they can afford to be patient, to exercise considerable restraint, even though their own red line, the final red line of this incursion, should have triggered the use of tactical nukes against the forces coming in to Russian territory. It was no threat to the sovereignty of the Russian Federation itself, the state, but it certainly threatened the territory. A small area, not all of Russia, obviously, but still, technically speaking, crossed a red line in which Russia would have used tactical nukes to defend itself. But they didn't need to. They were able to take care of this, contain it, and now they're virtually eliminating the threat with conventional weapons. So what has changed the conditions on Russia's part? What has established a new red line for Russia? They have fired the shot across the bow. They're demonstrating that their patience is nearing an end. So what has changed? It is Zelensky, who is really just speaking for Washington. He's an actor on the stage saying, you know, almost being characterized as throwing a temper tantrum, demanding permission to use U.S. long-range missiles, which are already in place and have been in place since February of this year, what are known as Army Tactical Missile Systems. These are ATACMS, the abbreviation. Army Tactical MS missile systems, so Army Tactical Missile Systems. These are long range, 1,000 kilometers, 1,500 kilometers, not an issue. And they are designed to carry nuclear, tactical nuclear warheads. Thus, what has changed is this tantrum, which only is, in a theatrical way, presenting the orders coming out of Washington for the use of these long-range missiles, and Washington setting the targets as St. Petersburg and Moscow. Washington is provoking, not just poking the bear, but provoking the bear. And why? Why the escalation to long-range missiles on the part of Washington? Because they need a success. The incursion in the propaganda, the mainstream media, continues to paint a false picture of success on the part of Ukraine and NATO forces in Russia, that they're bringing Russia to the peace negotiations, and Putin has already made it very clear ever since the incursion began that the gloves are off. There will be no peace negotiations with Ukraine and the West. Thus, we now have this announcement this week of a massive air campaign that is going to be launched over the entirety of Ukraine by Russia. That follows the tantrum by Zelensky seeking permission from the West to launch long-range missiles. The counter to that was Putin announcing the massive air campaign. It's point and counterpoint on the chessboard. Driving all of this is the November 5th elections in the United States, meaning it doesn't matter who's elected. It means the power structure that is in power right now wants to maintain their positions in government, in the administration. They do not want a change in administration. And they need a military victory to feed the propaganda machine, which is the election machine. The Biden-Harris administration needs a military victory before November 5th. They know that Putin wants to bring an end to the war, not really at the end of this year, but before October because of the BRICS meeting that they're hosting in Moscow and several other large cities, including St. Petersburg. They do not want a military conflict underway during the BRICS meeting. So this gives you a sense of the timing of events right now and what's driving on the chessboard this point and counterpoint in the media that we hear. Because of November 5th, the West wants to use tactical nukes to force Russia into peace negotiations, which even if the negotiations are still ongoing in November, it will still be counted as a win in the propaganda machine of the election. But Putin is not going to negotiate. Putin has already said through Lavrov, we are monitoring activity surrounding the West and its nuclear weapons delivery systems. And if they detect any indication of an escalation in preparations for the use, the launch, and in particular, these Army tactical missile systems, long-range missiles in Ukraine, they will preemptively use their tactical nukes. So let me back that up a little bit. Belarus, which is an ally to Russia and China, the president of Belarus, President Alexander Lukashenko, stated on Tuesday, the 30th of April, that he was announcing a surprise inspection of his army's readiness to deploy tactical nuclear weapons. Russia revealed the day before, on the 29th of April, that they had delivered dozens. And this was, again, announced by President Lukashenko, dozens of tactical nukes into Belarus. China has also been involved in nuclear drills in Belarus with Chinese mobile launchers, missile launchers. So China and Russia in Belarus with tactical nukes conducting drills back in April. The tactical attack, tactical nuclear attack, would first begin by Russia and now its ally China from Belarus. It would be launched into Ukraine and then from there into Western Europe. And here's the difference that I wanted to offer to you between the label strategic nuclear weapons and tactical. Tactical are on long-range missiles, meaning, let's say, up to 2,000 kilometers in range, just for the sake of simplicity. These are small, low yield. These are somewhere in the neighborhood on Russia's side of about 70 to 75 kiloton devices. At Hiroshima, we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 kilotons over Japan in World War II, just to give you a point of reference. So about 75 kilotons. And these have a blast radius of anywhere from a mile to 3 miles, depending. Okay. That's immediate vaporization of everything in that circle. And then, of course, you have the other effects that extend further, the blast and then the radiation and the fallout and so forth. So Belarus would be the launching point, primary launching point for the tactical. Strategic are the intercontinental ballistic missiles, the ICBMs. Those that are on truck vehicle mobile launch platforms, as well as in underground missile silos. These are ICBMs, capable of crossing the Atlantic or the Pacific without any issue. They go into low Earth orbit, and then they return back into the atmosphere, penetrating at several thousand miles an hour. These ICBMs, they take about 20 minutes, depending on where they're launched from in Russia, 20 minutes to hit the eastern coast of the United States, or if they're launched over Russia and also launched by North Korea, these take similarly about 15 to 20 minutes to cross the Pacific to the west coast. And then even on the part of North Korea, North Korean missiles can strike from North Korea all the way to the eastern seaboard, so they can cover all of the United States, continental United States, by themselves. So strategic are the very long range missiles, and the tactical are shorter range, medium range, but still considered long range. But these are battlefield, these are theater based weapons. So that gives you a quick overview. I just wanted to share that with you so that you understand what the current situation is. The thing I would suggest to watch for is any further saber rattling by the West. That certainly the worst news would be permission granted to Zelensky to at some point in the future launch these Army tactical missile systems, ATACMS. Okay. If he's given permission, and we hear about it in the public arena, that he's given permission to use long-range missiles against Russia, I mean this in all seriousness, that truly is the precipice to nuclear war, because it will not be limited. It will not be one or two, because Russia will preemptively not only hit all of Ukraine with nukes, but probably most, if not all, of Western Europe. And certainly they will hit the United States. And that would be done by strategic weapons, ICBMs. And also, as I pointed out in last night's live stream, Russian and U.S. Western submarines patrol both the Atlantic and Pacific. But if we focus on the Atlantic, and if we say just sort of worst case scenario in terms of strategic positioning of Russian submarines, let's say mid-Atlantic, they get in much closer to the eastern seaboard, but let's just say they're in the mid-Atlantic and they launch their submarine launched ballistic missiles, SLBMs, at the eastern seaboard. They can reach much further, but just let's focus on the eastern seaboard. There's less than 5 minutes Warning, they'll be detected, but there's nothing we can do about it. We don't have the air defense system to do this, to protect us. We don't have an Iron Dome. Iron Dome wouldn't do anything even if we had it, so it's not even worth really mentioning. So if the U.S. is hit, there will literally be no warning. It's not like in the movies where you see the ICBMs coming over and there's 20 minutes and there's all this frantic activity. No. Submarine-launched ballistic missile systems change the whole nature of warfare. So that's what we're facing. The Cuban Missile Crisis pales in comparison to what we're facing right now. I just want to put it in its proper perspective. Okay? Yes, we know that in Cuba there's a Russian sub and all that stuff. The reports are it's conventional warheads, not nuclear equipped. It doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant. If Russia decides to strike the continental United States, it will be full-on nuclear. So how do we pull back from this? What's the solution? Well, in my private live streams, where I can present my thoughts, my expectations in a private live stream setting, you can access that as a subscriber through anthonypatch.com. I'm not at liberty here on YouTube to present to you the solutions as I view them. I've already had one of my channels eliminated years ago. So years ago, we set up a private, behind a paywall, what we describe as a learning environment, where we encourage independent thinking, critical thinking, and opinions and thoughts and expectations by subscribers as well as myself and my wife. We can share that without censorship. And if that's of interest to you, please go to anthonypatch.com. You can read about, go to the subscribe tab, and please join in the conversation, because it is a conversation. Okay. Anyway, it's been about a half an hour. Let's go ahead and conclude this for today. Pay attention to whether or not Zelensky and his tantrum about wanting permission to use long-range missiles against Russia. If we happen to hear that he has been given permission, again, this is a propaganda machine, so they may just openly say it. The next move would be Russia's preemptive strikes. Should they confirm that preparations are indeed underway for any type of nuclear delivery system to be employed against Russia. And that includes the Army tactical missile systems already in, and there are more on the way already in Ukraine. Thank you for your time, and until next time, God bless you all.